Don't get your windows replaced until you get an education and a quote from the experts at Pella Windows.
Pella's two locations in Scottsdale and Tucson. Find them at rosieonthehouse.com under Certified Partners.
Take the time to think through the right door and window.
On this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, talking foundation repair with Bob Brown, founder of Arizona Foundation Solutions. We're going to get to what you've developed to solve a heaving problem. I remember there was a time you say, you know, haven't figured that one out yet, but you have.
Right.
And before we get to that, there is the Sundevil 100. Is that the correct name?
Yes, Sundevil 100. Apparently, ASU is taken to promoting the alumni with the fastest growing companies, and somehow we made the list and ended up being ranked number 17, which was kind of a surprise to me.
Well, congratulations.
Absolutely. That's great, Bob.
And that's something that was just in the last week or two.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. They had a big old banquet there and everything. It was a lot of fun. Even got to like pose with Sparky and everything.
Very good. Well, congratulations. And part of the reason for having a fast-growing company is the number of different solutions y'all have developed that really brand new. No one else
correct.
Has these. They've got patents on them. And one of those is your moisture leveling system. Talk through when we've got moisture and it's heaved our home, that 28,000 PSI clay has created a heave into the center of our floor. What do we combat that with?
So for a lot of years, I basically just had to turn people away, you know, fix your drainage, you know, try to give them some good advice. Didn't really have anything good to offer them, and I felt really bad about it and tried hard to try to come up with a solution. And a local geotech friend of mine by the name of David Dethridge and I developed this system about 15 years ago and have been refining it ever since. And basically, it's a commonly used process in environmental engineering called soil ventilation. And basically, it dries out the clays that are swelling because of moisture accumulation over time. It's a very simple process. We use vacuums to suck the moisture through the soil and expel it out.
And how long does that take?
It takes a while. It's not going to happen overnight. It's more of a maintenance system and a preventative system. So if you have a small heave, you might want to use this to keep it from becoming a big heave. On the systems that we've installed, over about 1,000 of them in the last 5 years or so, we have seen about half of them stay after 12 months, about even, and the other half go down on the average of about a half inch. By going down, I mean the high spot flattens out.
So this could take a little time.
Yes.
What is the system aiming to accomplish as it relates to saturation level? When we pour concrete, and it's got to get to a certain level before we put flooring on it, when we install stucco siding, we've got to wait for it to get down to below a certain pH level. What's the system looking to accomplish as it relates to moisture level in the
soil? So we have sensors in the soil that basically turn the system off when the soil reaches about an 8% moisture content. That's pretty dry, pretty dry. Most soil content is somewhere in the 12 to 15% range.
And does it kick back on if it ever goes
yes.
above that?
Yes, it'll kick back on. It's like a smart system.
And how do you know when it's on or off?
You can. There's a little YouTube manometer or a little gauge, depending on it varies. But we're using the gauges more often now, and it's mounted right to the riser pipe, and it's always showing how much air is being pulled through, 2 cubic feet a minute or whatever.
And that air is exhausted out through the roof,
correct?
Out through the attic.
Yep, outside the home. Yeah, usually at the gable end.
And once that's installed, and it comes on when the moisture gets above 8, it shuts off when it goes below 8. That goal is to keep that soil level.
Right. We want to regulate it. We want to keep it maintained at a certain level. That's correct. Because changes in moisture is where all the problems come from.
Yeah. That's a good point.
If it was constant all the time, if it was all wet all the time or all dry all the time, there would be no issues. It's the changes that cause problems.
So when we have a winter like we had 2 years ago,
right,
with no rain, and then we have a winter like we had last year,
right,
with a ton of rain, that's when y'all's phones are ringing off the hook.
Yeah, and that could be why we're so dang busy right now. I'm not sure. That could be a good, interesting point.
Because, I mean, we went 9 months, almost nine months without
right.
a drop.
It was really
dry. In
Maricopa
County.
Yep.
And then I don't know what we are year to date, but most of the rain came, a big portion of what we've got right now came, that's causing the spring that we've got, one of the most beautiful springs
right.
we've ever had in the blooms. But a lot of that started back in October.
Correct.
So,
yep.
But, I mean, it's a direct 180-degree opposite of what we had
yep.
2 years ago.
Yeah, California's got even bigger swing going on. Really dry to really wet.
And now they're wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these storms are coming across right,
right
there. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you ever see a situation where you've got settling and heaving on the same foundation?
Most of the time we see both. Most of the time. There are some areas, especially like if you're in the Gilbert area where you have that problem where the deeper soils are drying out and maybe the surface soils are being wetted because of accumulation. So quite often we see both, and we have to address both on the same house.
And how long does the actual job take? I mean, it could take, depending on your workload and the soils tests and the engineers, you know, it could be a couple weeks into or even months from the point of contact to being ready to install. But on site, how long do these repairs take?
On site, like a moisture level can be installed in a half a day or a day. Depending on how many you have, you know, that might be 3 or 4 days. The actual work is not that long, but we are really, really busy, and the whole process could take several months by the time from when they first call us to when we can actually get dirt moving.
Wade has emailed in and says, what type of paint should I use to seal the stem wall from moisture?
So I'm not a big fan of painting stem walls. And the reason is because you are sealing the place where the water needs to get out. And you can try to seal all the way down to your footing. That's helpful. But above the ground where it exits, if you seal that up, you're trapping moisture, and you can actually cause more problems. So if I was going to do it, I would use a very breathable paint, you know, like a stain or a dye, something that's breathable. Certainly not one of these real thick elastomeric ones. I wouldn't do that.
And stay away from any type of water sealing. If you're doing that, you're saying down to the footing. You're talking about below soil level.
Right, below soil. That's, you know, that's helpful to seal that up because that's where the moisture comes in. But remember, you're probably never going to get it all because you still have moisture coming in from below the footing and from inside the house. Unless you can get to all those areas, you're not going to ever seal it all up. So you need a place for it to escape.
Now, is there anything that can be done pre-construction to help eliminate these?
Foundation
problems?
A good soil preparation, good drainage on the house. You know, I always encourage builders to have gutters. And, of course, with gutters, you need to hard pipe it 20 feet away. Otherwise, you're just dumping it right there at the base. You know, it actually makes it worse, right? But good drainage.
It's concentrating the problem.
Right, yeah. Good earthwork by the builder always helps, making sure that the right moisture content is in the soil before they build, and that's difficult because we prepare all the pads, and then, you know, 6 months later you're still building on them, and they've been sitting open to the dry air for 6 months or maybe a year or two or whatever, how long ever it takes them to build out the whole track. Well, now you've got a problem on your hands, and they do require certification or recertification of the pads, but I'm not sure how much that really helps, to be honest with you.
Well, and something that came in, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, is a lot of the larger builders in the areas where they were suspicious they'd have, you know, those subdivisions folks have to have a complete soil engineering analysis on it. They determine the bearing capacity of the soil and tell the builder what they have to do to make sure they can maintain a standard 2,000 PSI on a standard footing. A lot of the guys, a lot of the bigger guys, went to post-tension.
Right, yeah.
Did that solve a lot?
Not a big fan of post-tension.
Yeah.
It makes the slab nice and stiff by pulling on those cables at 28,000 pounds each. But the big weakness to the post-tension system as it is currently in Arizona is it has no edge protection. It barely goes below the surface, and water can penetrate underneath that super, super easily. So
just with a landscaping change.
Right. Well, the way they pour those systems is you pull up on site and you set your forms, and then you put your cables and pour your concrete, and then later on they come and put 6 inches of landscape fill in.
Well, right.
That landscape fill, when it rains, the water penetrates that and like nothing, and goes right underneath the foundation.
I've even seen utility trenches where the water,
water
line goes in under the slab, not properly backfilled or compacted, and you could actually excavate down and just see a perfect map of where the ditch was.
Right. Well, that's a really good point, Rosie, because that's where a lot of the water does come in. Nobody wants to backfill a trench super hard and break the pipes. So those don't get backfilled really aggressively, and that's where a lot of the water comes in.
I've seen it plenty of times.
Now, we've been talking about heaving and settling. Now, y'all have a number of additional services as well. Radon detection?
Correct, yes. Radon kills 21,000 people every year.
In the United States?
In the United States only. That's in the United States. Can you imagine what would happen if a terrorist came over and killed 21,000 people? Everybody would be up in arms.
How much of that is due to industrial situations? Or is that number representative of residential contaminated radon deaths?
I think it happens everywhere. Schools, nobody's looking at our schools to see if they have radon in them, which is like super important.
Wow.
Who wants to have their kids be exposed to something that would cause lung cancer? People all the time tell me all about stories about they have friends and relatives that died from lung cancer that never smoked, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's from radon.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have a good friend from Pinnacle Peak, a doctor who died with lung cancer, never smoked in his life, but his master bedroom was a basement.
Right.
And just by this deduction and that deduction, it was kind of determined that basement didn't have enough ventilation. Well, who knew to ventilate it in the 70s?
Right, you know? Well, they didn't even know radon existed
until
the 80s when they... A guy went in, came to work at a nuclear plant and set off all the alarms going in. And they're like, wait, what'd you do over the weekend? And they went to his house and they discovered radon.
And it's fairly easy to test for.
Yeah, it's super easy to test for. I mean, you can get free kits from the AZRRA, Rich Baker. You can go to Home Depot and buy them for $15. We go and professionally set them and do a test. It's not expensive. It's super easy to do. And the EPA recommends that every home, and I would argue every office and school as well, should be tested for it.
And radon is a gas.
Right.
That's a result of...
Right. It's a radioactive gas that comes from the decay of uranium deep in the earth. And so uranium goes through lots of steps to get to lead, and one of those along the way is radon. And radon itself doesn't cause any problems. It's the daughter products of radon. And as they decay, they shoot off what they call alpha particles, which are two neutrons and two protons. And those shoot off like bullets. And if those are in your lungs, when those things shoot off, they damage the DNA of your lungs and cause lung cancer.
And we'll talk about the remediation. It's just not a complicated thing, but we can do a lot of things at Rosie on the House, but we can't stop the clock.